Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this evening, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, so we can grow thereby, Father, and walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, King, or with you. And Father, if we have committed anything that has not been pleasing unto you, I ask, Father, that you forgive us and let us know what it is so we don't do it again. And Father, just now, and may the Spirit lead us as we partake of communion this evening. And I pray that everyone has looked inside themselves. Now, Father, as we take our bread, we know the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So take your bread. Get your cup. To the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And Father, We thank you for this. And we give thanks for all of our prayers and all in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be now over here in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Give you a moment to get there. All right. We're going to start here with verse 1. You know, this chapter is actually 39 verses long. Now, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, we are to spend our life walking in the Spirit and after the Spirit, because that is what our main concern should be, is the will of Almighty God for each one of us and our lives. Now, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. You see, because Adam and Eve had sinned and brought that sin nature upon all of mankind, God was using his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to make a way for you and I to be able to get away from sin so that we could walk in the Spirit and with the Spirit serving the Lord our God. Now, 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you see, the Lord came, and he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. As you and I now, we don't live under the law, we live under grace, as we are guided by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and his Word. And we live by grace, and that through faith. Now 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And we know, those of us that are the children of God know that to be true. Because until we all went to the Lord Jesus Christ and repented and was forgiven of our sins, most of us, we joined in doing things really that we should not have been doing because it was wrong in the eyes of Almighty God. And for the most part, they are still doing that today. Now, 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, when we walk with evil and sin in our hearts and our minds, We are seeking things of this world and not the things of God. So we're not subject to God. Because actually, in 7 here, lets us know this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Now, 6 told us that it was death, meaning that it was a separation from God, separating us from God to walk with the carnal mind. Now, 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, when we are not His, there's no way that we can please Him. 9. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now he's talking here to those that are the children of Almighty God, that has put on the Lord Jesus Christ and has taken Him into their lives and has the Holy Spirit living within them. You see, this flesh is a home, not just for us, but also for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You can't put it any plainer than that. 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, it makes two different things, doesn't it? But you're talking there about the body is dead. It is still mortal and subject, not only to death, but also to the temptation of sin. Now, that's when we walk with the carnal mind. But when we walk in the Spirit is life. And it anticipates, verse 11, in the hope of resurrection. Now, here in that verse 11, it's telling us, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That Holy Spirit that dwells in you, that is given to you when you become that born-again child of the living God, is there to take care of you. He's there to work through you in reaching out to help others to bring fruit back for God and to help those that are walking in darkness to come to a knowledge of knowing that they need something greater than themselves. Because you see, when we stand just within ourselves and we step out of this life and into eternity, we have made hell our home. And we will also end up in that lake of fire that will burn forever. And as the Word tells us, the Word never dies. And never no way out of it. And throughout eternity, you'll suffer that punishment of where we refuse to be the child of the living God. Now, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. 13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, the difference there, when he's speaking about death, he's speaking about separation from God. You're still gonna be alive and know everything that's going on. But you're separated from Almighty God. And when you walk in the Spirit, got that eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. And you'll be spending eternity there in heaven with them. Now, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's why back in the Gospel of John we are told that unless we are born again, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, once we become that born-again child of God, you see, we're not under bondage. We're not bound by anything, because we have been freed by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And it's that Spirit that gives us the Spirit of adoption. And then we call for our Heavenly Father. 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit will let you know. You don't have no doubt. He will let you know. Now, there are times that if you're not careful, you can come awful close to wondering about it. But all you have to do is to remember what the Word told you. That He's in you and He'll never leave you. He's always there. You go to having those down feelings and all, find you a place where there's just you and Him. And spend time talking with Him. And it won't be long until you'll know He hasn't left me. He's still right here with me. Now, 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, we are heirs. We can inherit everything that Jesus did. That's why He died in our place. Now, 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The suffering of this present time. You know, the glory which shall be revealed brings that blessed hope of the Christian looks ahead with anticipation to this great moment. Think about it. 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, this creature he's talking about is you and I, mankind. Our creation eagerly looks forward to the revelation of the Son of God in the millennium. In Christ's 1,000 years earthly reign, because that is the time when the curse will be lifted and creation will be restored to Enochic conditions, as it was in the Garden of Eden. It will be restored to that kind of conditions. You see, they are talking now, and even on television, they talk about Jesus coming back. But they're talking mainly about the second coming back to earth. But he's coming for his church before that. He's coming for all believers before he comes back to this earth. Because, you see, when he does come back, he'll be bringing all that has believed in him and accepted him and that has made heaven their home will be coming with him while he sets up his millennial reign, that 1,000-year reign here on the earth, where he is king. And he is king of kings, because he will be the only king here on this earth during that period of time. Now, Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, that's letting you and I know that that is referring to Adam's fall, which has caused misery from then until the present time. And the present suffering of creation are the birth pains of the new age to be born, the millennial, that 1,000-year reign from the fall until now. Creation has been groaning over the pointlessness of having been made subject to a curse. It eagerly looks forward to the time when the curse will be lifted. Now, 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the first installment of the glory yet to follow. You know, and grown that word groans that he uses there. The believer groans because of the conflict experienced in and from which he needs a final and complete deliverance. This is the ultimate answer to Christ will deliver us by the resurrection and the glorification of our bodies. One day, this spirit, you and I will be living, if we are the children of God, will be living in a glorified body. Think about it. The body with no pains, no sicknesses, no sorrow. All tears will be wiped away. Think about that. Now, 24. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man saith, why does he yet hope for? 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that's what our life is. For we are a child of the living God. We are living in the hope, that when we step out of this life, that we make heaven our home. We don't see it now, but then we can see it. 26, likewise, the Spirit also turns us, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's why we are told to pray in our understandable language and also to pray in the Spirit. It is so that we let the Spirit take over and pray for us. 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, when he prays for us, that's what he's doing. He's putting everything in accordance with the will of God. And that's what he's praying for and praying about. 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you love God, you've been called to his purpose, for him to use you to get his work done here on this earth until the end. Now, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And you see, no one can, because they cannot stand up to the power of Almighty God. That's why we have been given the authority while we are here on this earth to use the name of Jesus in dealing with the evil spirits. We don't have to let them in. All we have to do is tell them, you've got to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and leave me alone. And they've got to go. 32. He that spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And you see, he does, because he'll give us everything we need. He makes a way for us to get it. We may have to do something, but he's made the way. Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, we know that no charge is admissible because the Father justifies it in that the Son died and was raised and now intercedes for you and I. We don't have to worry about those that stand against us and those that want to talk about us, those that want to lie about us because they don't understand the Word of God. They don't understand our life. They don't understand how we are living. But they want to talk about us. They want to lie on us and lie to us. But that's all right. You see, that's on them. You love them anyway. And you pray for them. You pray that some way they'll be able to find that they have the need of the Lord Jesus Christ and that they will come to him and repent of their evil ways and be forgiven and their life changed so they can make heaven their home also. We're not to hold grudges and want to get even, which is what most do. Somebody does something against them, they want to figure out how they can do something even worse back to them. That's wrong. Now, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, none of these can separate us from the love of Christ if we are standing with him. 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Well, we know what that's all about. That's those that don't want to accept us. 37. Pretty well answers. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, we are more than conquerors, but that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loves us. That's what he gave us. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He died on the cross. He went back to heaven. And he told his disciples even, that if he didn't go back to heaven, the Comforter would not come. And you see, he went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of power, and he sent back the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to each one of the children. That's why we all have him. Now, 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is so true. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of the Lord our God once we become that born-again child of God. Think about this. When you get a chance, reread that chapter. It's still good things for you and I. In telling us how to walk this life. We have now come to the end of chapter 8. We'll be stopping here for the evening. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we close your word and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for these times that we can come together to share your word with each other and with each other and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for Jerusalem. I pray for them to have peace. But even more than that, for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, we know it's filled with evil. It turned its back, walked away from the Lord, taking him out of every place he was ever in. Father, so much evil to the land and to the people. We pray, Father, for those that are sitting in offices in our high places, our government, filled with evil that has done this, to be removed from office and replaced by those that are yours, that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus, loves the church, loves your people, and loves this country, and will work with us to bring this country to repentance. And help us to put our government back upon the foundation, Father, in which you have founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Father, for those that are all part of me, it's in my heart, Father, I pray for each and every one of them. I'm praying now, Father, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy, Tom, Jacob, for James, for Bobby and Miller, for my wife, for Father, for Sue, for Daryl, Debbie, Courtney and Shane, and Father, I have some news this evening. Bad for my prayer. Chris and his wife Sam and their children, Father. I pray for them. I pray that they will move closer through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, keep us all through this night in health and safety, and bring us all back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I pray for everyone to have a great, 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 great night.